today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
A disciple bears fruit. Do you know how to bear fruit? Do you know how a tree does it? It doesn't do anything. It happens really naturally. You don't see orange trees, you know, if you were to measure their stress levels or anything like that. You know, oh, wow, it was an orange. I wonder what this one's going to be. It's going to be an orange. It's an orange tree. It's supposed to make oranges. As a Christian, you're a lot like a tree that God plants. You produce fruit naturally.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Today, Pastor Troy will be teaching on abiding in Christ, the vine. When you decide to follow Christ, you're now required to bear fruit. The only way you can bear fruit is by abiding in Christ and allowing Him to do the work within you. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit, such as love, joy, peace, gentleness, and self-control? Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message today. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can get a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 9, as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled Matthew's Call.
They're Christians, Christianos. And that's where they were first called Christians, because they had no other name for them except followers of Christ, Christians. And that's why we are called to be Christians, followers of Christ. Jesus calls you today, whatever your occupation, whatever your situation, whether you're doing great or you're struggling right now, whether you're at your tax collector's desk doing your job, or you're failing to do a job, He calls you right now to follow Him. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." What does Jesus call us to? When He says, "Follow me," what does He call us to follow Him in? Well, one, to leave all of the old stuff behind. From the moment He says, "Follow me," everything from that moment back is game to be gotten rid of, to be changed. But it could be a good thing that I'm doing. It's game. It's fair game. You're following Him. He can do what He wants to do. And it is a great thing that He wants to do. But it's letting go of those things, leaving the old behind. He takes you away from the life you were living and gives you a new direction and a new sense of purpose. Matthew, like I said earlier, was not likely to get his job back when he walked away. He probably gave up more than all the disciples, because the other disciples, they could always go back to fishing. That was independent work. You go catch some fish, you sell them. But Matthew could not go back to tax collecting. Rome had to approve him, and you walk away from Rome, you burned a bridge. So many want to follow Jesus. It sounds good. It sounds exciting. And it is very rewarding. But the problem with so many is that they refuse to let go of anything. They want stuff put in their hands, but the hands are already full of stuff. You can't get more in your hand. You can't get anything in your hand when your hand is full. It's the trick of the enemy, I believe. He wants to keep you busy with your routine, with your comfort zone, with your hobbies, your activity, the things you want to do, so that your hands and your schedule are so full with that, you have no room for what God has or wants for you. So that you, in your heart, you'd say, "Oh, if Jesus called me, I'd follow Him." But really, He calls you every day and you don't have time. You don't have the hands that are free to do it. The truth is, if you and I were at Matthew's desk collecting taxes that day, we may have asked Jesus to wait until the end of the day so that I wouldn't risk my job. Surely Jesus would understand that. But Jesus seems to call us to do things when there are things to let go of, when it will cost us something. It's by faith that we follow Him, not by convenience. Christianity is not a religion of convenience. It is one where Jesus says, count the cost of following me. The truth is, we can't count all the costs. We don't know them all. But the ones that we can see, we need to count. And I know some of you, you like to count the costs. Bible says count the costs. So you would spend a decade trying to count every single cost that you don't know all the costs that are there. But it keeps you from moving because I got to count the cost. I'm not going anywhere until I know all the costs. Look, count the costs that you know about and follow Him. Matthew didn't have a whole lot of time to think. He lost everything. The key is, are you willing to lay aside and lose everything to follow Him? When He calls, follow Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, we know that's a salvation passage, that in Christ, everything becomes new. You're forgiven of your sin. But it also is a daily thing. We fail every day. Every day we've put all kind of stuff in our hands and on our schedules. But God calls us to follow Him. I'm a little confused about all the stuff. Just follow me. Follow me. Will you do that? So He calls us to leave things behind. He also calls us not just to leave things behind, but to follow Him. You know, definition of following Jesus is to walk the same way toward the same destination, to be a part of what Jesus is doing. That's how you follow Him. What was Jesus doing? He was representing God's love, His truth to the world. Are you doing that? Because it's part of our call if we follow Him. If we follow Him, our jobs won't be the most important thing in our life. Yes, we will do a good job. Yes, we need a job. You won't go, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm out of here. You'll do your job unless Jesus causes you to move on in your life from that place. We need to work. We're a witness in our work. But it won't be the most important thing to you. It won't consume you. It won't be the thing in your hand that when Jesus says, follow me, I can't leave my tax desk. You will be able to follow Him because it's Him. So we're called not only to leave things behind, but we're called to actually embrace things as He lays them out ahead of us, to trust Him and follow Him, whether the things we understand or we don't. We just take what we believe God is doing and we embrace it and we follow Him with all of our heart. It's exciting. But here's something that's very important for us to understand that we are called to do as we follow Christ, and that is bear fruit. We are called as we follow God to bear fruit. He calls us from a life of going with the flow and blending in with everything and everyone, which is what our routine affords us the opportunity to do, to blend in. It's our routine. Got these friends, see these people, I'm in these circles, and everybody's used to me. I don't have to change or do anything. He calls us out of that to make a difference and to produce fruit, to make a difference in the sphere of influence that we have. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. A disciple bears fruit. Do you know how to bear fruit? Do you know how a tree does it? It doesn't do anything. It happens really naturally. You don't see orange trees, you know, if you were to measure their stress levels or anything like that, you know, oh, wow, it was an orange. And I wonder what this one's going to be. It's going to be an orange. It's an orange tree. It's supposed to make oranges. As a Christian, you're a lot like a tree that God plants. You produce fruit naturally. It comes naturally from you. It's who you are. You don't force it. Don't try to force fruit. Now, here are some things to make fruit production most advantageous, to help it along, I guess. You know, we can do this with trees. We fertilize, we water, we take care of them, prune. Now, Jesus does the pruning. You don't have to do any of that. But we can do our part, and that is watering. The Word of God, taking in the Word of God. Okay, fruit is to be produced from your life, but you don't have to make it happen. But here's how you can make sure that it happens. Get in your Word. Let the water of God's Word wash over you. I don't really understand it. It's just water. Let it wash over you. Let it go in. Someone once said about a sieve, when you mine for gold and things, you use a sieve and it allows the debris to go through and keeps the bigger pieces. Said, you know what? If you keep watering and pouring water into a sieve, it won't hold a single drop of the water, but you will have one clean sieve at the end of it. That's all you need. You need cleansing. You may not be understanding the deep theological truths. That's not all that important. What is important is that you allow the Word of God to wash over you and to water you. You will produce fruit. And pray. Pray. Seek the heart of God. Seek His heart. Seek fellowship with Him. Repent of your sin daily. Get specific. If you do these things and you commit time to Him, fellowship with God's people, getting around people who are more mature in the Lord than you, people you can look to and just spend time with. I'm going to go on this mission trip because I want to be around God's people, or I'm going to be at this church function because I'm going to grow. It's either that or watch this show, and I'd rather grow. Put yourself in those environments, in those situations, and what'll happen is the fruit that should come from your life will naturally start to come from your life, without much effort from yourself. It'll be the fruit of the Spirit of God as He gains more and more control in your life, leading you. And one day, you'll think you're the same person, but someone else will come to you and say, man, you've changed. Man, you're different. Man, how do I get to where you're at? And you'll go, you don't want to be where I'm at. And then you'll realize they see something different in you. That's how it happens. There's no shortcut. Salvation is instantaneous, but sanctification, the process of that change that goes on, is not instantaneous. It is a work. And it is a work that God does, and He does faster and is more productive in our lives if we let Him have our hearts, prayer, communion with God, and being around His people. So, bearing fruit is very important for a disciple and a follower. In fact, it's what Jesus wants from our lives, fruit. Is anything going on in your life? Is there fruit coming from your life that people would actually want to come to you for sustenance, for wisdom? They would come and they would pick from you, the tree. They want to find shade in you. Or are you someone they kind of stay away from? I don't want to hear anything they have to say. I know as Christians that kind of happens for us anyway. We're narrow. I'm talking when someone's really in need. They got family problems. When they're really willing to put aside any differences about, you know, your church, their church, or no church, and they're willing to come to somebody whose life is in order, who has genuine, heartfelt counsel. Are they willing to come to you? If not, spend more time with the Lord in prayer. Spend more time in His Word. Spend more time around His people, and you will have the best opportunity for natural fruit to come from your life. Be well entrenched in the things of God. Don't be like salt that has lost its saltiness. In verse 10, we see that Matthew begins producing fruit right away. Verse 10 says, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to His disciples, now, I like this, they say to His disciples, they're not going to the man Himself. They're pulling them out. Hey, look at this. Your teacher sits with tax collectors and sinners. And he's telling tax collectors this, but he pulls them aside. tries to stir things up. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? You know why? Because that's who he came for. We're going to see that in just a moment. In Mark and Luke, we find out that this party is at Matthew's house. So Matthew is hosting Jesus. It was very common to celebrate a new direction in life or a departing. These were all his friends. These tax collectors were all former buddies, friends. And so as he's moving on, it wasn't uncommon to invite everyone over and to have a meal. Everything was warranted a meal back then. And so he has this meal. Jesus is there at the center. Who wouldn't want to be there? And it just so happens it's an opportunity for those who probably couldn't get to one of these kind of teachings and times with Jesus. Man, he's at Matthew's house? This is crazy. And these tax collectors probably swarmed to be there to hear this man and to be around him. Like, Jesus will accept us? Our own people won't accept us. It's a picture, I think, of what should naturally come from the life of someone who comes to faith. Matthew was excited, and he wanted to share all that was going on with those around him. He wanted to share Jesus with them. I mean, physically, literally. So Matthew's sharing the change that's taking place in his life. He's sharing the excitement of what's going on in his life right now. And he's sharing the truth of who Jesus is, what Jesus did, what has happened in his life. I remember, again, when I got saved, a lot changed, but a lot didn't. But of the things that changed, I remember one thing in particular. There was a man that worked in our shop. His name was Sergeant Woods. He was a Christian. He was one of those Christians you think, you know, he's a little too much of a Christian. You know, he's just one of those real uppity kind of guys. I like the Lord. I love the Lord, you know, all that stuff. But I don't want to be like that. He's a little too far on the other end. But I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, there was one person I wanted to talk to, and it was him. It was the weirdest thing. I thought it was weird. I'm like, why do I want to talk to him now? He's like, I really don't want to be that. I don't want to be like him, really. I still want to be a cool Christian. I want to still do the things. I know that there's things you want me to stop. I'm going to stop those things, but I still at least want to be cool. And he's not. But in my heart, there was like, I want to talk to him now. I want to share with him this thing that's happened in my life. I want to let him know I'm in, you know, I'm with you guys. It was just bubbling up in my heart. It was a new thing. It was weird. When we give our lives to Christ, not everything changes instantly. But some weird things happen. We become instantly more like Christ in many ways. Things that are righteous and good become more important to us. The line drawn between what is good and what's not, not only becomes more clear, but it moves. I don't know if you know this, but more and more becomes bad. And less seems to be good, at least less and less of what I used to like to do. It's like, yeah, I mean, I got to get rid of that. That's bad too, God. You're just going to take me of everything. You're going to take my whole life. It's like, did you not read the scriptures? You know, yeah, you lay down your life. You pick up your cross. You deny yourself. You follow me. You can't be a disciple otherwise. So yes, it changes things in us. It was my first sense of accountability, making myself accountable to him. I was a little shy about sharing it because I did think that I might be seen as uncool, and that wasn't cool. So that was a struggle for me. And I didn't really share it with my unsaved friends. You know, I didn't go to my unsaved friends and go, man, I gave my life to the Lord. I'm going to start going to church now. No more drinking. No more doing that stuff, man. Woo, I'm above you guys now. Look at me. I didn't do that. It was a little hard to talk to them. In fact, it was awkward. It became more awkward, more and more awkward, until I finally had to say, no, you know, I'm going to go to church. No, I'm not going to go to that party. And finally, they were no longer friends. The separation had to take place, and it did. And that's what's going on in Matthew's life. A lot of changes. His circle was changing. and it'd be forever different. The Pharisees didn't like what they saw in Jesus. They saw a group of people who were celebrating, who didn't need to be celebrating. They were sinners, and they need to be just repenting and beating themselves and flogging themselves, this group. And so, when they say this, Jesus says, verse 12, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In other words, you're right. These are tax collectors and sinners. These are sick people. But where else do you expect to find a doctor? What good doctor would be isolating himself away from the very sick people that he should be doctoring? He couldn't do that. He says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, you guys have no clue what God's heart is. Jesus is reaching out to a group that had fallen. They were sinners. They needed help. That's mercy. The Pharisees were avoiding groups like this for fear of contamination. Can't be around that. They were making sacrifices, the appropriate sacrifices, the best sacrifices. I'm denying myself. I'm doing all of these things, following all these rituals. I am better than them, and I cannot be contaminated by them. That's what sacrifice can do. You start making sacrifices just to feel more righteous. That's not really what I desire. I don't even like that. I desire mercy. Mercy means you're proactive. You're not all about yourself, making yourself more righteous. But instead, you're investing in others. You're pouring in others. You're reaching out to lift up others. Not concerned for yourself. Now, you don't want to get in the mud completely so that the people who are in the mud feel okay in the mud. But you can't be afraid of getting a little dirty. We're in the world, just not of it. So Jesus calls Matthew. Jesus calls anyone. No one is beyond salvation. Right here, right now, Jesus may be calling to you to follow him. To let go of everything that up to this point has been a routine and has been comfortable for you. And he says, follow me. Are you going to get up and follow him? Because Jesus begins to change you. Change is a regular part of the Christian life. When a church dry rots, A.W. Tozer wrote, when people in the church only point to others for improvement and not to themselves, it is a sure evidence that the church has come to dry rot. It is proof of three sins, the sin of self-righteousness, the sin of judgment, and the sin of complacency. Jesus doesn't want to do a work in the person next to you. He wants to do a work in you. So when he says, follow me, are you willing to follow him? The Pharisees' problem is they thought their routines were, righteous routines. Great routines, but they had become nothing more than routines. Jesus doesn't benefit those who don't think they have a need of him. And if you're here today and you feel okay, and I don't have a need to grow closer, I don't have a need to let go of anything, he's not going to help you today. He's going to be of no value to you today because your hands are full. But if today you are willing to let go of anything and follow him, he can do a lot with you. You know, it's not our sin as much as our pride that keeps us from following Christ. Jesus ate with sinners because he's the friend of sinners. And you and I, we're sinners. So are you ready to follow him?
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew, here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard today is exactly what you're looking for in a church. then please join us. We meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. For more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
And then the storms begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.